Good morning and happy Sabbath, everyone. It is good to be in God's house. What do you say? Yes. It is a joy to be in God's house. And today we come to celebrate communion service, the Lord's Supper, which is the highest service we can celebrate in the church. This is a time when we all come together. Whatever else we do, we lay it aside and we come to communion service. And we have a good, grand time in Jesus. He told us that at services like these, he shows up in particular. We thank God for the privilege we have today. And my sermon title, as you can see in the bulletin, is In Remembrance of Me. And this is a very beautiful fall. Anybody thanking God for this fall? Yes? You know, I tell folks, when you see the beautiful colors in the leaves of fall, that's death you're seeing. The leaves are dying, and God makes even death look good. And isn't that what Jesus did on the cross for us? Yeah, he died the second death for us, taking it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. So, in remembrance of me, those words first spoken by Jesus so long ago are still as powerful, endearing, and special as when he first spoke those words. They are a call to holy action. They show the Lord's interest in us, and it's a call for us to show interest in him. Amen? They show that we should rightly value Jesus, seek him out, and maintain a covenant saving relationship with him. When heaven takes attendance on a day like today, who wants to be marked late or absent? Communion service. Who wants to be marked late or absent? And heaven is taking attendance in this place today. As heaven does each Sabbath we show up. Who wants to be marked late or absent? Some people should be in church right now, but they are busy with other ideas. God knows exactly what is going on. And I wanted to say something to this church. It's not everything a pastor knows, a pastor says. And I can tell you personally, the Lord shows me some things sometimes that are going on in each of the churches. He gives me a dream. He gives me ideas. And I just pray. And I mentioned to you the last time I was here something similar. I just pray. I see people. I see activities. I see actions. And what I do is just pray. And so he knows what's going on. And he wants to pull people out of the fire. But some people are comfortable in the sparks of their own kindling. For us who are here today, let us set our hearts and homes in order. Amen. The Lord is doing a special visitation among us. And he is pruning his church garden. Do you know what that means? God is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Let us examine ourselves as to where we are in our advancement through enemy territory as we make our way toward the kingdom of God. Let us know the reason why we are all assembled here now. You know, Psalm 95 verse 1 through 7 and verse 6 is my key verse there. The reason we are here today is, O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with... All right, so Thanksgiving is not just one Thursday each year. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his. For he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. And then verse 6, the punchline. O come. Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, And we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Let us pray. Our God and our Father in heaven, we thank you for inviting each of us into your holy presence today. We thank you for this house that was built to and dedicated to you, to worship you. Thank you for having us in your house today, your house of worship. May each of us, Lord, let go of every sin right now. May we confess every sin privately, quietly to you now. And we ask your forgiveness for all our sins. As we go further in the service, Lord, please bless us, Lord. Transform us, Lord. Make us whole, Lord. And speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. I invite the church at this time to stand. Yep, I invite everyone to stand and we will read alternately in remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I'll read one verse and the congregation reads the next one. So we start here in verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Congregation, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. And together, then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. We saw what Jesus did for us. And I've been sharing a story that every time we write a date down, or anyone writes a date down, we are either referring to this event when Christ died on the cross for us, or we are marking from creation. That's how across the world time is written. It is written for Christ, like the year 2023, it's the year 2023 of our Lord, when the incarnation took place. Or else, like Jewish reckoning or Iranian reckoning, they try to measure from where creation is. And the Jews are about 57, 81 or something like that, they say. So we still haven't passed the 6,000 year mark yet. And they're telling us about billions of years and all that stuff. Don't believe it. Believe the word of God. Amen? Take God's word for it. So, as we press on, I want you to know today that our God is real. His love for us is great. And when we just reflected on Psalm 51, we don't have to go commit adultery with Bathsheba like David did to pray that prayer. Even if we didn't go to commit a known sin, we are sinful by nature. And we need to come to God confessing, asking for forgiveness, and growing in Jesus Christ. Amen? So, we arise from prayer and we think about those words. Jesus says, in remembrance of me. Speaking of Jesus, instituting the Lord's Supper, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 24 to 26, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant, or New Testament, same word. This cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. You see, Christ is the desire of all nations, right? That's what the prophet calls him. He is the desire of all nations. And regarding the passage above, we now read this in the book, Desire of Ages, page 652, quote, Christ was standing at the position of transition between two economies and their great festivals. We could say two religions. Bible time Judaism and Bible Christianity. The two religions, the two economies. He, the spotless Lamb of God, was about to present himself as a sin offering that he would thus bring to an end. He would thus bring to an end the system of types and ceremonies that for 4,000 years had pointed to his death. As he ate the Passover with his disciples, he instituted in its place the service that was to be the memorial of his great sacrifice. The national festival of the Jews was to pass away forever. I want to pause right there before I finish the quote and make a comment. Do you know you've had people that left this Elmira Seventh-day Adventist Church to join what we call a feast day movement? Leaving a Seventh-day Adventist Church to become a Messianic Jew? Now, we are told here that this national festival of the Jews was to cease forever, to pass away when Christ was crucified. They all were shadows, ceremonies, object lessons, kindergarten lessons, pointing to the coming of Christ. And when Christ came, they were ended forever. The quote continues, the service which Christ established was to be observed by his followers in all lands and through all ages. The ordinance of the Lord's Supper was given to commemorate the great deliverance wrought out as a result of the death of Christ. Till he shall come the second time in power and glory, this ordinance is to be celebrated. It is the means by which his great work for us is to be kept fresh in our minds. You know, I praise Jesus today that he deserves, and that he said that we keep him in remembrance of me. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 29 warns against unworthily eating the bread or drinking from the cup of the Lord. Paul says, whoever does so will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. So what should we do then? Let each person examine himself, examine herself, as whoever drinks unworthily brings judgment upon themselves. Paul says, some people are weak and sick, and some have even fallen asleep or died because of a violation of this most sacred service. Can you imagine the curse then upon anyone who chooses then to hide away from communion service instead of giving up their sins? Do you know you have people, I've seen it as a pastor, you have people who stay away from church when there's a communion service, because they know something is wrong. And instead of giving up the something that is wrong, they stay away from church. I've seen it in many places, and I've seen it right in this church. We need to let go and let Christ reign. This is a powerful, beautiful opportunity to start afresh. When we come to communion service and we wash one another's feet, that's a mini baptism right there. And we are told that at seasons like this, Jesus shows up in a very special way and he does a cleansing work. I don't want to miss out on communion. I'd rather miss out on my sin. I'd rather give it up. Amen. Amen. Now is the time to let go of selfishness, sin, and pride. By the way, have you ever noticed that the middle letter for the word sin is I, and the middle letter for the word pride is I? We are living in the I age, the instant age, iPad and iPhone and iMac and Hollywood, they don't say it that way. And then we have American Idol. How many watch that on TV? American Idol. And all kinds of idolatry. Now, do you think that idolatry would feature among the things that Paul says an unworthy manner? Idolatry. Well, idolatry is any view held about God that is unworthy of him. That's idolatry. Selfishness. Self-centeredness. They are the biggest idols of our age. Now, someone can be in church, acting all holy, preaching sermons, teaching Sabbath school, singing, tithing, leading, pastoring, or even doing nothing for all kinds of selfish reasons, for limelight, for likes, and for following, etc. But God himself says in Isaiah 65, 1 through the 6, I am sought of them that ask not from me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. A people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificeth in gardens and burneth incense upon altars of brick, which remain among the graves, lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things in their vessels, which say, stand by thyself, come not near me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. My friends, this is a complaint God said through Isaiah back then of ancient Israel. I wonder if any of that is true for modern day Israel, God's Bible believing Christians. Never mind the Middle East. That has no bearing on Bible prophecy. People are asking, Pastor, is this war between Hamas in the Gaza and Israel across the borderline. Is it prophecy being fulfilled? I said the last prophecy about Israel was fulfilled 2,000 years ago. When Jesus was crucified, and that final week of the 70-week prophecy of Daniel 9, 24 to 27 was wrapped up with the stoning of Stephen. Israel has ceased being an ambassador for God. What's happening in the Middle East is not Bible prophecy, but political policy. Two different things. Amen. And that's enough for that for now. Fellow pilgrims to the New Jerusalem in heaven, fellow soldiers of Christ marching to the heavenly Zion, true Bible Christianity demands that we die daily to selfishness and self-centeredness. If we follow through in being Bible Christians and die daily, how often do you think then that we need to be resurrected? If we die daily, how often should we be resurrected? The answer is daily. We need to be born again every morning to start the day right. Yesterday's born again experience is not sufficient for today. And that's why I begin to worry when people tell me that they are sixth generation Adventists and tenth generation. That must be God's sixth great grand and tenth great grand. I don't read about God having any grandchildren in the Bible. I read about the children of God. Amen? The point is, we must each have an experience with God for ourselves. Amen? I cannot pass on one iota of righteousness to any of my offsprings, and I have three of them. Risha and I try to be good children of God, good saints, but we produce three sinners. Thank God each of them has given their life to Jesus and they're in the path walking. I thank God for that. But the best two saints still produce a sinner. Amen. And as for myself, I continue to battle against a sinful nature. So I have not yet arrived. I'm in the upward journey, coming up by the grace of God, pressing on with Jesus Christ. Amen? Christ came at his first advent, and he died so that we might live the more abundant life. John 10 and verse 10 says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." That term, "I am come," is God folding up himself into a little bundle of humanity named Jesus. That term, "I come," is a mystery of godliness that was hidden for ages from wise men and rabbis, from nobles and scholars, from sages and others, but has now been revealed unto lowly Gentiles. Amen. I am a Gentile. I am a Gentile by Old Testament Bible standards. But by New Testament Bible standard, I am an Israelite. Any man being Christ is Abraham's seed. And those who are not in Christ, not all who are of Israel are Israelites. Romans 9:9, Paul tells us that. Don't be confused. A lot of confusion being pushed in the name of religion. Remember what we studied in Sabbath school? Not everybody who preach religion or preach Christ does it for noble reasons. A lot of people make a lot of money in this religious business and Christian business, you know. They tell you to sow a seed and you sow all kind of seeds. And they fly over your head in private jets when you drive around in your little Toyota. We have to open our eyes. It's time God's people come of age. Amen? Don't be deceived. Hold on. Don't be tricked. You know, Revelation 10 and verse 7 says, "But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. And in Colossians 1, second half of verse 25 through to 27, it says this mystery is to fulfill the word of God. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. I am happy today that I, as a Gentile, I am being grafted into the family of God in heaven and on earth. I don't need to be a Jew, nor a Messianic Jew, to be a part of the family of God. Amen. Nobody ever did. Every human being who was ever saved or will ever be saved will do so through the same criteria. We are saved by the grace of God, particularly through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's why we are gathered here today, as Jesus said, in remembrance of me. As we eat the unleavened bread and drink the purified, unfermented grape juice, let us remember Christ. You know, the birth of Christ was revealed to lowly and humble, like Gentiles, wise men from the east. You know, those are Gentiles, right? The wise men who came from the east. And we don't know that there were three of them. The Bible doesn't say so. Simply said, wise men came from the east. And I think I've explained to you, I believe those wise men had the oracles of Balaam. When you read Numbers chapters 22 to 24, you will see where Balaam prophesied about the coming star of Jesse, star of Jacob. And Balaam was from the east. So I think they preserved Balaam's writing and had copies over there of that prophecy that we have in Numbers 22 through to 24. Wise men from the east. Study that prophecy. Because when they came, they asked. They said, we have seen his star. That's what the wise men said. We have seen his star. And that's what Balaam prophesied about. The star of Jacob. That star of Jesse. And they followed that star and came to where Christ was born. Gentiles. They saw. So the birth of Christ was revealed to lowly and the humble, the lowly and the humble, like Gentiles, wise men from the east, like shepherds, long before the great Bible scholars found out. These simple people did. In Luke 2, verse 8 through to 11. Now they are in the same country, shepherds, living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And if you live in upstate New York, you know you don't do that. December 25th. You're not out there doing that December 25th. And then you tried keeping watch over your sheep in upstate New York at December 25th. Yeah. I know the Cunningham family don't even like November 25th. Coming from the south, much more December 25th. It says here, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. See, angels are powerful beings, you know. Today we paint some angels, you can't even tell if they're male or female. They look somewhere in between. Woe be unto those artists. Angels, when they showed up in the Bible, people trembled. They are powerful beings. Not some sissy kind of looking artwork. Angels were powerful. And here they showed up. It says, then the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Because they were greatly afraid. The angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Amen. Now, it was that same message of the coming of Christ, the Messiah, that the angel Gabriel gave to God's prophet Daniel. It was meant to bolster the hope of the human race. Some 550 years later, that same unaging holy angel Gabriel appeared to the woman who would give birth to the Messiah. Amen. You know, the angels don't age, right? Same angel Gabriel that appeared to Daniel 550 years later appeared to Zechariah regarding his wife Elizabeth bearing John the Baptist, and appeared to Joseph and to Mary. Same angel Gabriel. Didn't age a bit. Now, my friends, early Christianity triumphed. And when we live in America, the land of the free and the home of the brave, we don't tend to understand the persecution that the early church faced. From its very inception, from its very cradle in Jerusalem. Christians were first persecuted in Jerusalem by the Jews. And then the Roman Empire got a good idea. We need to exterminate this sect, as they claim to have some king. And that's a challenge to our kingdom. We need to execute them all. And they did that for centuries. Until a certain emperor, Constantine, came and he said, "Look, man, this is not working." So in one of his thirst to conquer a battle and all his soldiers are riding through the river, he suddenly declared that he saw some sign in the heavens and there was a cross. And that's why those Roman Catholic crusaders always running to battle with a cross. Paganism. And they ran in with the cross, and all of a sudden Emperor Constantine says, "No, he's now a Christian." How did he become a Christian? By just seeing the sign of the cross in the sky. And that made him a Christian. And so the persecution subsided from the Romans against Christianity. Later he moved the headquarters of the Roman Empire to Constantinople, which is the same as today's Istanbul in Turkey. And there you have what is called the Eastern Orthodox. It was seated there. Then came the rise of the Ottoman Empire. And they locked horns with Roman Catholic crusaders. But guess what? With all those battles fought, Christianity is still here. Bible Christianity is still alive and doing well. God raised up a movement called the Seventh-day Adventist Church to carry the final stage of this battle through to the coming of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you that we have a very high privilege today to partake in the Lord's Supper and to show forth the Lord's death till he comes. When you have the opportunity, when you take the opportunity, when you make the opportunity, please enjoy reading chapter 72 from that book, Desire of Ages. The whole chapter is on that subject, in remembrance of me. You will be blessed by going over that material in remembrance of me. My brothers and sisters, Jesus loves you with a tremendous love. How much do you love Jesus? We're going to no break, and we are going to wash one another's feet in the ordinance of humility. The men, we go off to the room off to the side over there. And the women go off to the room off to the side over where the kitchen is. We're going to wash one another's feet. And then we'll come back here to wrap up the service by participating in the ordinances that represent Christ's broken body and spilled blood. Thank Jesus that he didn't stay dead. He rose again in mighty triumph. And so we have a living head, a loving Lord, a living Savior. Let's stand as we pray to separate. Our God and our Holy Father in heaven, thank you for all the lessons you teach us through the scriptures, primarily the Word of God, and also through enactments like these, where we can literally put our taste and touch on all the senses to work in the midst of a worship service. Thank you, Jesus, that we can hold communion with our Lord. You are here today, high and exalted and lifted up. Cleanse our hearts from sin. Help us all, Lord, to go now and practice the ordinance of humility. And then we'll come back, Lord, having been cleansed, having been washed, to partake of the ordinances, the emblems that represent your sacrifice for us. Thank you, Jesus, for your ministry in the heavenly sanctuary. Thank you for the ministry of your holy angels. And Holy Spirit, thank you for being God right among us. Bless us now, we pray. In Jesus' holy name, amen.